All right. Well, good morning. It's great to be with you all this morning. That was a great worship time. I'm thankful for our Mackenzie and the worship team. That was good worship, wasn't it? I appreciate it. It was great. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you've noticed, we've done a little decorating in the front. It's Baptism Sunday. We have three people being baptized at the end of the service. So we're talking about the new sermon series called Fresh Start. And that's kind of what baptism is. It's a marking. It's a sacrament of an outward expression of an inward faith. And that's what we're going to be doing today at the end of the service. But our service this morning, we're going to talk about, our sermon this morning, we're going to talk about what it means to have a fresh start. Before I do, I wanted to do two things. Number one, I want to just ask you as the church family to lift up Pastor Gary Paladin. He is our missions pastor. He's going to be going to Pakistan, I believe tomorrow it is. I think that's, Joel, am I correct on that? It's correct, yeah. So he's going to be going to Pakistan, visa in hand. We're thankful for all that. All the details are working out. So we're going to pray for him as we go into our sermon. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this Baptism Sunday. We thank you for the opportunity to get together with your family and as a church family. So Father, I pray that you just be with us in these next few moments as we look into your word. But also, Lord, I lift up Pastor Gary Paladin to you as he goes to Pakistan. Lord, we praise you for the working out of the details of this trip, but Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to empower him, equip him, and strengthen him. We ask for your protection upon his travels over there, while he's there, and on his way back, Lord. But we pray that your gospel and the mission will go forth. So we pray a blessing upon Pastor Gary, and be with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. All right, well, thank you for being here. If you're, again, a visitor, welcome. We're so excited to have you here in our worship experience after Easter. So when we think about things that are fresh, that word fresh, I know as a youth pastor, when I thought of the word fresh, it wasn't always fresh. I worked with middle school boys. That was the opposite of fresh. They would try to mask it with Axe body spray, it got to the point where I would say no Axe body spray in the description of what to bring and what not to bring. But fresh, it's freshness. It's about being, this kind of like a new beginning. What does that mean to have, like, fresh? I went to the store and I bought this for you. It's just another prop. It's new car smell. There we go. The new car smell, maybe that'll waft back there. Anyway, but like, that's a fresh smell. Like, when you get that new car smell, this church lost its new car smell a while ago. So, but anyway, that freshness, that new car smell, maybe something with lemon in it. That smells good. Let me wipe that off there. Downy fabric softener. I remember my mom used to use that, and now there's like other things you can do. I'm a big fan of this fresh garlic. Anybody? Any fans? Okay, a few. Mostly guys. Okay, there's some ladies. That's good. Fresh garlic. That's amazing to cook with and use. I think that should be a candle. Maybe a Yankee candle would be good. But fresh starts about this. We think about our lives. You're like, that's gross. I know. But fresh starts. We think about our lives as Christians, or maybe just like you're new, you're searching, trying to figure it out, that we're all in need of a fresh start. I know that I am. You know, I don't know if you're here this morning, you're just kind of in a hard reset. We're in the spring-like weather here in Pittsburgh, but we're looking for like this new beginning, this new start. Maybe it's a fresh start at school or college or a job, or maybe with kids or a new home maybe you just moved into, or if you're lucky enough to have that new car smell. Maybe that's what it looks like. But when we think about God and our relationship with God, maybe there's been some problems in our lives, and we're saying, God, where are you? Are you in this situation? Maybe there's been some confusion where you have been serving and you've been doing the stuff, but you just feel like God is kind of like absent. Do you ever feel that way? And maybe that's where you are this morning. But there's others of you maybe here, you're not sure who Jesus is. When you think about who Jesus is in the Bible or what you've read or heard, they're like, I'm not sure what he's like. And so that's what this whole sermon series is going to be about, is trying to have that fresh start with God and how we approach our faith and how we live out our faith the day to day and what that looks like. So have you ever needed that reset in your life this morning? Have you ever needed that at one point? Yeah, we all have. And so that's our prayer for you. If you've come back from last week, or you're just here for the first time, you missed last week, then I want to encourage you to think about this. Maybe right now God wants to have this reset with you and in some form or facet in your life. He wants this hard reset with you. The question is, how do we get that fresh restart? How do we get that fresh start with God? But once you're in the play, in the right place, once you're in this right place with God, you have to understand that God is in the business of giving us second chances. He wants to give us a second chance. We may have had a difficult time or experience or relationship, but God is a God who is in the business of second chances. He's in the business of the reset moments. He's in the business of a fresh start, and that's what he wants for us. And so in these next few weeks, we're going to be launching out of this this particular passage from 2 Corinthians 5:17 out of the Message, and it says this. It should be on the screen behind me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, thinking about fresh starts and that new car smell. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. It's created new. The old life is gone, and the new life emerges. The new life emerges. And so this whole idea, when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, he's writing to them about being made new in Christ. They were all caught up in all kinds of different things. They had problems of their own, just like us in today. They were trying to figure out what it meant to live out a relationship with God, or who what God was like. They were dealing with their own sin. They were wrestling with authority. They were mixing in all these other different types of religions. And so people also, in this time in Scripture, they were looking for that fresh start. And so Paul reminds them about that. It says God is looking, that we're looking at the Messiah differently, and we're looking for a fresh start. And that's what we're looking at this morning. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15. This is from the New Living Translation. It says this, that Christ's love, when we think about that in the context of Corinthians, or thinking about the beginning of this relationship, that has this love that controls us, and that if we believe in that. Joe, if we go back to that big idea, that'd be great. A fresh start with God embraces these things. When we think about this idea in a relationship, a fresh start is going to do this. We're going to embrace in our relationship, day to day, week to week, the beginning a relationship with God, beginning with a relationship with God. So no matter how far you're down in your relationship, or how old you are, or whatever it is, that it always comes back to that basic. It comes back to the beginning. Where's your love and faith in God? So that beginning a relationship with God, and we're embracing that. And then the second thing we're going to do is embrace becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. Following him with all areas of our life. And so beginning, that's what we're going to be looking at with this Fresh Start series. And so again, going back to 2 Corinthians 5:14, this all begins with dealing with those struggles that we have, those questions that we have. Who is God? What is going on in my world? What about sin, the authority, and different things like that? And so Paul writes, and he talks about this. This is where this beginning and becoming this fully devoted follower comes from. Christ's love controls us. And we think about our own lives sometimes. There's all kinds of things that control us. There's everything in the world is demanding your time and your money, your attention, billboards. There's noise all over the place that we see. Even on streaming services, you don't get that many seconds before the next thing begins, right? They're just trying to pull you in. And so everything is trying to take control of us. But here's what Paul was saying, as he said to the church in Corinth. He says to us today, and that's why we're going to have this fresh start, is that Christ's love controls us. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15. Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all have died to our old life. That we died to our old life. Verse 15, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. And so we think about, what are the things in my life that are controlling me? Maybe not intentionally, but maybe there is something that's controlling me, just constantly controlling me. I'm constantly losing my phone. Anyone ever do that? Thank God. I don't even have my Apple Watch on. It's because of the baptism tank. But I use the Apple Watch to find my phone. That thing controls me, right? It's not intentional, but there's things in our lives that control us. What holds us together? What are the things that hold you together in your life? But Paul was saying that Christ's love is the thing that should be controlling us. And you examine your life, you examine your faith, you examine your relationships. What is it that's really controlling? Is it you? Is it you that is controlling it, or is it Jesus? Is it the love of Christ? Is it what we just came through from Jesus' love on the cross and his, what he shed his blood on the cross, and then he defeated sin and death on the grave. That's what should be controlling us. But the struggle is that when we come up with different things in our life, when circumstances arise, when difficult things happen, those things tend to control our direction, our thoughts, and our money, and our time, and our calendar, and all those things, right? And so Paul was reminding the Corinth church, the church at Corinth, he's saying, it's the love of Christ that should control your life. Your old self is what needs to die. And so there's this belief, to believe that Jesus is the one who is in control, and that's hard. Jesus is the one who is in control. So we start a relationship with God and spend the rest of our lives figuring out what that means. I'm going to say that again. We start a relationship with God, and we spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out what that means. As you live the Christian life, you go through all kinds of seasons and valleys and peaks and all these other things. And we're spending the rest of our lives trying to say, what is God trying to say to me? What is God doing inside of my life? And so that's what it is. This whole thing, as we're talking about a fresh start, it starts with the love of God. And some of you need to hear that this morning. That maybe the love of God feels like it's, you need to have that fresh spray spelled again in your life, and maybe your faith smells a little dank or musty, right? Paul's reminding them, saying this fresh start starts with the love of Christ. And some of us need to be reminded of that, and that it's just kind of grown old and stale. And so if we believe that and we're giving full control to Jesus, he's the one that relationships begin. And then we're able to navigate through our lives to saying, God, I'm going to serve you with all my gifts and my talents, my time, my treasure, all of those things. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17 says this. So it starts with love, and then he goes on to this. So we have stopped evaluating others from the human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. And so Paul's saying there's a different change in perspective how we view Jesus. Verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Jesus Christ has become a new person. Say new person. You've become a new person. So if you begin with the love of Christ, you have a relationship with Jesus, you are a new person. You're like, Pastor, I don't feel like a new person. I'm not saying your knees are going to just like instantly, that could happen. Jesus could heal, but my Achilles is still bad. But like, you're a new person spiritually inside. The Holy Spirit is in you, okay? So you're this new person. You're this new creation is another way Paul says it. Verse 17, he says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old self is gone, and a new life has begun. And so that's the whole idea of when we accept Jesus, when we realize his work on the cross, his victory over the grave and death and sin, we say, oh my goodness, I don't have to live in this defeat. I can live in this victory, and I can start with love, and I can have this fresh start now, and I can have this new perspective of how I look at life. So what happens is that we begin with love, things get kind of like familiar, and then we just start losing that kind of like that fire. And the reality is that God wants us to go to him and have this fresh start, and realizing that we're this new creation and these new people because of the love of God. The old goes away. The old self has to go away. There's no room for that old self, right? Because of what Jesus did. And so he's saying, let that go. Let that person die. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 19. And all of this is a gift from God. I hope you heard that. This is a gift from God. God sees you. He knows you. He cares. And he wants to have this. He gives you this gift, this love that comes through a relationship with his son, Jesus. All of this is a gift from God who has brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. He gave the wonderful message of reconciliation. Say reconciliation. Reconciliation, making things right. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can have this right relationship. We are reconciled to God because of what Jesus did. And so if you think about something that's gone into your life, they're like, I need to reconcile this. You know, you think about how you reconcile your checkbook. Do you guys do that? If you don't, you're going to see me afterward. I'll have you talk to Joel about reconciling your checkbook. But anyway, thanks, Joel. That was funny. He laughed at that. That was good. But seriously, this reconciliation happens because of what happened in Genesis 3. There's this sin condition, this problem. And Paul's reminding them that you may know about Jesus, but this freshness comes when we're dealing and dying to ourselves daily this new setting. And so because of Jesus, there's this reconciliation that happens, and that's what we're called to do. He brought us back to himself. And so here's where we're going. That's kind of the setup where we're going to be going for the next few weeks out of this passage in 2 Corinthians 5. It begins with love. It begins with this old self dying. It begins to have this fresh start. As the old self goes, we become a new creation. And so this fresh start. That's where we want. The tension is this morning, you're saying, well, do I need a fresh start? Just think, ask yourself, do you need a fresh start in your life? On any area, just ask yourself that question. In the Bible, one of my favorite characters, one of my favorite people in the Bible is Peter, the Apostle Peter, the disciple who followed Jesus, he followed Jesus closely. And in Luke chapter 5, if you can turn to your Bibles there, we'll be in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. We're going to look at the life of Luke. Now, Peter in the book of Luke, he was just an ordinary man. He was a blue-collar worker. He would fit really well with the Pittsburgh culture here, I believe. He was a fisherman by trade, hard worker, blue-collar in his attitude as well. He was enthusiastic, strong-willed. He was zealous. He had brothers, so he had relationships with a family. But there are other areas just like us, just like me, where he's strong in some areas, but kind of falls short in other areas. That he's strong in some areas and weak in others. And so he's a man who has a faith, but it can be messy sometimes. You ever feel that way about your life? That's what I like about Peter, is that he understands who he is, but he understands more importantly who Jesus is. That there's this messiness, there's ups and downs, but because of who Jesus is, he has this confidence in his Savior. And so here we have this. In Luke chapter 5, this is the third encounter between Jesus and Simon Peter. It's another name we call him, or Cephas. It's another name for Peter. We have this encounter where he is coming to having an understanding of who Jesus was. So he has a few encounters with Jesus previously before this actual encounter in Luke 5. And then he has preconceived notions about who Jesus is. He encounters him one time, and then he encounters him a few other times, and he starts forming these different opinions. Well, I saw him say, I saw him do this miracle, then I heard him say this, and so he's starting to say, who is Jesus? What is he like? And so now we have this encounter in Luke chapter 5. If you turn in your Bibles there, I'm going to read this to you. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats on the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into the boats, Jesus asked Simon Peter, its owner, to push out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught crowds from there, he meaning Jesus. And so Peter is saying, who is Jesus? What is he like, Simon Peter? What is he like? He has these preconceived notions. It's a lot like us. When you think about it, before you knew Christ, or maybe you don't know Christ, we all have these preconceived notions of what Jesus is like or what his followers are like, right? And so Peter's having this, and here Peter is a fisherman, this carpenter. That's what Jesus did. His side hustle was, he was a carpenter and a tecton, which he worked with stone and different things like that. But here we have Jesus step into his boat. He gets into his life. Peter didn't ask him to. He just did it, right? And so that's what the Lord does sometimes. He'll step into your boat, even when you're not waiting for it or ready for him. That's the case for me, that I grew up in the church. I wasn't really wanting Jesus in my life as a young man. And he stepped into my boat and changed everything. My perspective shift began with this love, and then so on and so forth. My preconceived notions changed over time. So Jesus steps into Peter's boat, and now he steps into our lives. And sometimes he's not going to ask your permission. And we got to wrestle with that and say, okay, we have to be ready for that. And sometimes he will. Sometimes he'll have this gentle push. I want to be in your life. And there's this different thing, but there's tension. So Jesus enters Peter's world by stepping into his boat. This carpenter from Nazareth steps into this Galilee fisherman's boat and begins to teach. And I'm going to say that was the moment that marked Peter. That was one of the moments that marked him for the greater good. He steps in his boat and his livelihood, and he steps into all these different areas, and he has this up close and personal encounter with Jesus. He's right with him in the boat. He's seen how he's speaking and teaching. He's seen how people are reacting to his teachings. He's seen people's lives be changed. And so how can you not be moved by something like that? And so Peter was. He was moved. And so as we say here a lot, that Jesus sees, he cares, and he knows. He sees, he cares, and he knows. He saw Peter, he knows him, and he cares. The same is for us in all of what we're going through right now. That we say, I don't think he does see me. He does see you. Does he care? Yes, he cares. Here's an example. I'm always pointing. It's an example of Jesus' love for you, and he knows. He knows what other people don't know. He knows your dark struggles. He knows when the unguarded moments happen at night. He's there. He knows what you're going through. And so he's able to say, I care. I'm going to step into your world. I care for you. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 5 says this. When he had finished speaking and teaching, he said to Simon, now go out to where it is deep and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. You can kind of hear the exasperation in that statement. I think I can, right? But like here, this he's like, I'm going to obey. I'm going to, Jesus, you enter my boat. My preconceived notions are starting to melt away. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to push out into the deep. I love that. Sometimes that in order to get to know Jesus, we have to surrender ourselves and in obedience. Even when sometimes when we don't know what's going to happen, surrender ourselves so he's able to push us out into the deep and do some work in our hearts. And that's tough. That's tough to do. I recognize that. And so in order to do that deep work, we need to walk in obedience. I can say this, like, as a parent, I feel like I've failed sometimes. My kids, my son's sitting right here. I feel like a parent, I feel like a failure sometimes, right? As a pastor, sometimes I'm like, I feel like I'm failing you guys. Like, I don't want to do that, right? And so Jesus is saying to me, like, as I'm preparing this, like, maybe you felt this, maybe in your work or your finances, or maybe just other decisions you've made in your life. Like, I've really dropped the ball here. The reality is this, is that Jesus sees us, and we're not supposed to be controlled by that. We're supposed to be controlled by a love for Christ, and we're called to walk with him. He wants to help us in the everyday, ordinary lives that we live, every day, those things. And so Peter, in this moment, in this passage, he's learning what Jesus is saying. He's learning how to fish, but he's also understanding what it means to live life in a relationship with Christ. In this moment, on this boat, this fisherman is learning from the carpenter. He's growing right before our eyes into the rock of whom the church will be built on. So faith is in many times an counterintuitive to our natural tendencies to think and react and respond a certain way. But we can't judge according to what we see any longer. Sometimes we're going to call to step out in faith and ask the Spirit to guide us when we don't have the direction. So as Jesus enters in, we're called to just have that faith. And faith isn't, right, faith is including just stepping out and reaching out and surrendering your life to Jesus, allowing him to step into your boat, saying, okay, I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm going to allow you to step into my life and do some amazing things. So I love this. I love that passage there. Verse 4, he says, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out to the deep. Now let down your nets and catch some fish. Now, this is a foreshadowing of what Peter's going to do as a disciple, a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Not only is he going to catch fish, but he's going to catch spiritual fish. He's going to catch souls, men and women for the kingdom. And so it's this moment right here that he begins to have this fresh start with Jesus. He begins to have this fresh start with Jesus. Now we have this. In verse 6 and 7, at this time, their nets, as he let their nets down, their nets were so full of fish that they could begin to tear. A shout to help brought their partners to the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. And so we have this amazing look at Jesus. As Peter allowed him to step into his life and step into his boat, he, in obedience, pushed out into the deep. Jesus begins to bring this catch, this only thing that Jesus can do, like it's a Jesus thing that's happening. They've never seen a catch like this. And so they begin to catch all of these fish that come to the boat, so much to the point where they thought they were going to sink. Jesus begins to partner. This is like this partnership that he has with Peter and with the other disciples as well, but particularly for Peter. He's saying, Peter, I want to partner with you in ministry. I want to do life with you in ministry. I want to partner with you. I hope you see that. that no matter what your vocation is, many of us are not fishermen. Do we have any fishermen with us? I'm sure. Okay, I wanted to recognize you if you were a fisherman. But whatever your vocation is, Jesus wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with you no matter what you're doing. He wants to partner with you to advance the gospel. He wants to partner up. So Peter obeyed, and it was just, when he obeyed and partnered with Jesus, there were so many fish that a boat could not contain it. And it's having faith. It's amazing sometimes what you expect Christ to do, and then he shows up and does amazing things, and it blows your mind. It fills your boat. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for your life. And so God will send us back, just like he did with Peter. He sends us back into our world to help us understand him Monday through Saturday. He wants us to have that type of relationship. And then verses 8 through 9, just kind of finish up as we wrap up here. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus. Okay, remember what he says. He's this fisherman. He doesn't want to, he's kind of like, I have preconceived notions. I don't know, he's going to let him step into his boat. Now all of a sudden, he says he fell to his knees. He had this different perspective shift on who Jesus was. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." Did you hear that? That he is so overwhelmed by what God had done in this miracle, this work of catching all these large fish. Peter saw Jesus for more than who he was. He saw Jesus as something bigger and greater, right? He fell to his knees, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. Have you ever had that moment in your faith where you've been so awestruck by God, and you're like, "I'm not sure how this happened," and you just fall to your knees and praise him? We need more life moments like that. We need fresh starts. That's what God wants to do in our lives this morning. And so Jesus exchanges Peter's past for his future. He says, "Leave behind, come follow me." And he says, "Leave your past behind and leave past preconceived notions behind. Follow me, take a step of faith and follow me. There's this new way to live. There's this new way to look. There's this new way to believe." That's what God wants for him. So this love of God is motivating and compelling. This love of God, it motivates and compels us to have this relationship with him. When God is working inside us, amazing things will happen. There are people here right now that are realizing that you need God to have a fresh start in your life. You need to have that awe-inspiring moment. "God, would you just show up and help me deal with these fears, these anxieties, these problems that I have? Would you do something in my life this morning, God? Jesus, I want to know you. I want to begin with that love, and I want to walk in obedience. I want you to start by coming and changing me from the inside out." What I like about this is that he saw Peter for who he was. He didn't say, "Peter, you have to go through this class, or you have to get this type of haircut, or you have to..." It wasn't anything like that. He just saw him for who he was and what he could be. And he was going to be the future of the church. And that's how God sees us. He doesn't see our past. He sees us for who God made us to be. And so if that's you this morning, you're struggling with who is Jesus and these preconceived notions of your past. And those are the things that you attach to your identity. I want to tell you this morning, that's not who you are. That you're made in the image of God because of Jesus' work on the cross. His victory over sin and death. We're new creations. That's who we are. So we don't have to live like we're victimless, that he gives us this fresh start in our lives. He gives Peter a new name. And then later we know all these other things about Peter, that Peter will be the first to confess him, "Lord." He'll be the one that steps out of the boat, right? Did he have mess ups in his life? We know the story of Peter, yes. He did, but he was the one that had that bold faith, and it began with the love of following Jesus. There was that understanding that he was a new person. Jesus gave him a new name, but more importantly, gave him a new identity and a new purpose. And some of you need to hear that this morning, that God wants to give you a purpose and a plan for your life. Then all your planning and everything, it's not going to be... What God has for you is so much greater than what we could ever come up with. And God has a future for you, and he has a hope, and it begins with the love of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:8, through 10, it says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, but it is a gift of God. This is a gift of God given to us, not a result of our works, that no one may boast. For you and I, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him." And so we are God's workmanship. We are God's artistry. We are God's masterpiece. We are his work of art. And you're like, I don't feel like that. Well, that's how God sees you. I'm telling you this morning. You are his workmanship. You're created in his image. You're new creations because of what he did. And so I want you to think about that. Do you struggle with that? Do you struggle with understanding what God's purpose and plan is for your life? I want you to understand that there's this purpose and plan that you can have this fresh start today. There's this quote from Mark Twain that says this, and I love it. It says, the two most important days of your life, the day when you were born and the day you found out why. I love that quote. Is that you start with that day you were born, and then you spend your entire life trying to figure out why you were born. Once I realized that I was made for ministry, that God called me to be the pastor, there's not anything that anyone could ever say or do to me or come against me that it's going to get in the way. I'm standing firm against that, right? That no matter what, I wanted to be a dad, and I want to be a dad to a great son and a daughter. I want to be a husband to a beautiful wife, the heart of gold. Those are the things I was created for, and I was created for relationships. And these are the things I realized that were perspective shift. That's what happens with the love of God gets inside you, that you can change your perspective in the direction of your life. And one of the greatest days will be when you found out why. That is the truth. At Bridge City Church, we have this thing called crossing the bridge. Well, we're like, we cross a ton of bridges in Pittsburgh, right? Well, this bridge is a type of illustration. We could put that up there, Joe. That we have on this one side, we have us, that we're all separated. The Romans 3:23 that says, for the wages of sin is death, and we all sin. There's sin conditions within us. It needs to be dealt with. On the other side of this chasm is God, that God loves us. We just came out of Easter, that we understand that God loves us. Romans 5:8, John 1:12. And then in the middle, he sends his son Jesus as this bridge to life. If you just put your hand out and push out that, there's a chasm. Nothing we can do in our own efforts, our own works, our own thoughts, goodness, I'm a good person, right? All that stuff will leave us falling short into that chasm. It's because of what Jesus, he died once and for all for us to have a relationship with him. That's where the fresh start begins, with the love of God. And I want that for you this morning. We're going to have a baptism here coming up at the end of this service, where three people are going to have a chance to have a fresh start. Where baptism is this outward expression of their inward faith. That they get to have and declare publicly before family, friends, and church family that who they are. They understand that they are a new creation, that there's a new life. There's a fresh start that's available in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you here today, you need to hear that. You need to do that. So I want to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. I want to read this verse to you. It says Isaiah 43:18-19. It says, for I'm about to do something new. I want you to hear this. Make this your prayer this morning. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to have this new part, this new pathway. He wants to do this new thing in your life. But begins by surrendering your life to him. It begins by doing that. Amen? That's what he wants for you. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity that maybe I'm going to start with this. I'm going to start with those that know Jesus but need to recommit this morning. That you need to recommit and say, I need a fresh start. I just got through all that Easter stuff, but today I need a fresh start. I need a fresh start to begin my life and understand I'm a new creation because of what Jesus did on the cross. Just heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to pray with you. To give you that understanding to respond. I'm not going to spray it again, but there's this like this new fresh spray, this new car smell that God wants to have in your life that permeates through the love of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit. He wants that for your life. And maybe that's you this morning. I just simply want you to heads bowed and eyes closed. You want a fresh start. Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Be bold. Fresh start. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for all these hands up. Lord, will you begin that fresh start? Lord, that we would not continue to have stinking thinking, that we would not hold ourselves to what we did in the past or those past sins that we have, but Lord, we would cling to our new identity, that we're made new in you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So Father, I pray a fresh start, a bold start in Jesus' name. I declare this over them, that those that are hands up, those that hands aren't up, that want to raise their hand, Lord, that you would help them have a fresh start, that you'd help them walk strongly and boldly in a relationship, to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. I pray a blessing upon them now. Amen. And maybe this morning, if you're here, you don't know Jesus, and you see that Bridge to Life illustration. Joe, if we could put that back up. You see that Bridge to Life illustration, you're saying, I haven't gone across that bridge, that Jesus made a way for me to get to God. I don't know Jesus. Would you just raise your hand right now? I want to pray with you. We're going to have someone pray with you afterward. Well, Heavenly Father, I just pray right now. I pray for those that are still working through and understanding what it means to follow you. I pray for those brothers and sisters right now that they too would have a fresh start. So, Father, I pray you bless us in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, you may be seated.
Hey, let's give